Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Dick LaForge. Dick has taught beekeeping through extended education at Humboldt State University since 1997 and has kept bees since 1993. He keeps his beehives near freshwater and has consistently produced a good crop of honey, averaging 200 pounds of honey per year from four hives. Dick, tell me a little bit about the history of keeping bees and honey.
Well, hi, Jennifer. Of course, honey is basically sugar. And before there was international trade in sugar cane and sugar beets, honey was really your local source for sugar. And as we are talking about food, we know that sugar is one of the basic food groups. So in those times, people would gather honey from wild beehives and make mead and sweeten things with it. And then they learned to keep them in colonies on purpose, the first being hollow trees, hollow logs, those skeps that you see, the dome-shaped things. And then right around 1850, a Reverend Lorenzo Langstroth, who was a beekeeper, developed the modern hive that you see today, those rectangular boxes that are out there. And that started modern beekeeping. And you could, along with a few other inventions at that time, meant that you could produce a lot of honey and in a very efficient manner and take care of the bees very well. And that's what we have now, and that's what we are doing in the class and in Humboldt County.
And now there are native bees that have been around in the United States for a long time, but the bees that you keep are the European honeybees. How are they different from native bees?
The thing about the European honeybee is that it's very colonial. It makes these large colonies that live all year round. And since they do live all year round, they need to have a food supply for the winter when there aren't flowers. The thing about bees is they only eat nectar and pollen. So they're dependent on flowers. So in order to live all around, they have to collect honey. And if we help them, protect them from diseases, give them nice homes, they will produce more than they need. And we can have the extra. The native bees, there's about 20,000 species of bees in the world, but pretty much all the native bees are non-colonial. They act as individuals, or their colonies are much smaller and they die out in the winter, for example, bumblebees. So those bees don't produce any amount of honey that we can use. So that's why the European bee is the honeybee.
What are some interesting things about bees? You're pretty familiar with their behavior, their social behavior. What are some of the most interesting things you found out about bees?
Oh, that's sort of a long list, because the more you look, the bees are probably the most researched insect in the world because they're so important to agriculture. And the closer you look, the more fascinating things you find. But I think what most beekeepers find to be the most interesting is what I just mentioned. They're very home-oriented colony behavior. You can take their entire hive apart. That's the modern hive. You can take it all apart, lay out all the pieces, put it back together again without really bothering them particularly, because they're so busy doing what they're doing, which is taking care of babies. They're calling in nectar. They're evaporating it to make honey. They're taking pollen in. They're cleaning house. They're taking out dead bees and dropping them. They're guarding the entrance. They're blowing air currents around inside to keep the temperature and humidity at the right levels in different places. And since they live in this little box and you can take it apart, you can observe all these things. So I think that's really, besides getting a product, that's why people get fascinated with them. Also, their behavior and organization sort of mimics the way people organize and behave and the jobs people do. It's on a totally instinctual level. They don't have radio stations. They don't have committees. They don't sit down and think these things out. But the result is kind of very much similar. I guess you'd call it a convergent evolution on the insect level.
I noticed I saw some program on bees, and it showed them doing a dance to show the other bees where the good pollen was, where the great flowers were, and to demonstrate that.
Yeah, that's quite true. It's called the bee dance, and there are what you call scouts who go out in the morning, and they are experienced older field workers, and they will go out and check the flowers and maybe find some new ones. And if they find something really good, they'll come back and they will do this little dance on the combs, remembering, of course, that it's totally dark in there. So the other bees pick it up by vibrations. So this female worker, all the workers being female, comes back, hands out samples of what she's collected, says, here's what it tastes like and smells like, and then here's where it is. And she goes waggle, 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 and circulates around in this particular area of the hive, and the other bees can tell what direction it is and how far away. And so new bees will show up very quickly if it's a good place.
How do you get bees started in a hive? What is like their sense of smell? Is their sense of smell really good?
Well, those are two different questions.
Okay.
So the first one is that bees, their entire bodies are covered with sensory thingies. And they're extremely sensitive to what you'd call smells, because the way the hive is organized is largely through pheromones, which are chemicals released, and they can detect these. And so they can tell how their queen is doing, whether they need more this, that, or the other. They can tell there's hundreds and hundreds of these chemicals, and they can sense them and react. And that's how everybody in the hive knows what's going on and can do the right jobs. Shall I skip to the second?
Yeah, tell me the answer to the second question.
Okay, well, we'll take the example of our class. But anyone who's starting would do this. The first thing one would do, of course, is to read books and prepare and think about this, because it's not a totally easy thing to do. In fact, it's fairly difficult until you get the hang of it. You can't just buy bees and put them in a box and set them out there and come back a year later and expect them to still be alive. That might or might not happen, probably not. So read up and learn. There is the class. Okay, so suppose you have read up and learned and you know what to do. Typically, people will order a box of bees, which weighs 3 pounds, from a bee supplier in the Central Valley. Since it's warmer there, their bees build up in the spring quicker than ours do. So like our cost this year for the class is $70. And you get a box with 3 pounds of bees, and there's a queen in there, and you, through a procedure we teach, you introduce these bees into their boxes that you have bought and fixed up for them, and then you feed them sugar water to get them going so they don't have to spend too much time out looking, and they can raise babies, and they build up their population, and you're on your way.
What are some of the different commercial products that come from keeping bees?
Okay, the main product everyone knows, of course, is honey. And honey, although it's basically sugar, it tastes better than regular sugar, some of us would think. Whether it's more healthy in any way is open to debate. I'm not going to claim that. Also, pollen is produced, and pollen is a good food with protein, vitamins, and minerals. It's where they get everything else except for sugar. They run their bodies on sugar, but like a car would use gasoline, but all the steel, the rubber, the everything, those are the nutrients that are in the protein, minerals, and vitamins that are in the pollen. And so you can collect pollen and you can eat that. It's sort of expensive per pound, but it is tasty and good. And some claim the propolis, which is the sort of varnish they use in their hives, does have antibiotic properties. Some people really elaborate on this, and you'll have to look those things up yourselves. The biggest product that bees provide is pollination for commercial crops. And the estimate is about 1/3 of food that people eat directly or indirectly comes from bee-pollinated plants.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking to Dick LaForge.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and I forgot I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.